This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.
All right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Survivors ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Survivors Ready. This is the show where we get together every week and talk about pawpaws. My name is Adam. No, we don't. We get together every week and we talk about Survivor. My name is Adam and I'm joined from the pawpaw free state of... Where are you? Fatty, oh, hi. I don't know.
Hi, this is Momo.
And we're also joined by Sam in the Hinterlands. Hello, Sam.
Hello, everybody.
What's on your shirt, Sam?
More love, less hate.
Good for you.
We are also joined by Daniel Brewer. Hello, Daniel.
Why, hello, Adam. How are you this fine evening?
I'm good. I feel like I just spoke with you.
You did last night on the Dubious Intent show, which is on Saturday evenings at 10 p.m. on pride48.com.
I just want everyone to know that we played You Don't Know Jack after Dubious Intent, and I won the second game. So
you did.
Just everyone should know that. I lost
is that
horribly.
Because you did know Jack?
No, I lost horribly on the first one, but I redeemed myself on the second one. We're also joined by the Faye driver. Hello, Faye.
Well, hello, everybody. Nice to
be
here
tonight. Forgot the retired Faye driver.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to make an announcement. Faye is not quitting his podcasting career, even though he's retired. I have confirmed that. So all of the letters that I've gotten this week from everyone who was sad, never fear. Faye is continuing his podcast.
Okay. He's having those delusional dreams again.
thank you.
Well, because Faye last week told us all he was retiring from podcasting. I have a recording of it. I'll play it back for you someday. All right.
You get on that.
We're also joined.
Before you get off of for the people on the video, I just want everyone to know I've just been handed a very important message from outside, which is the printouts of the people. Mine are all scratched up with people who are no longer playing, but.
It looks like you've been like throwing darts at the ones you don't like or something. You have those hung up on your wall and you're like,
You know, I don't have much else to do, so.
But now that Danny and Kim are on the same island, I'll never know which one is which.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. I got to see which one is which.
All right. We're also joined. He waited so patiently. Chris from, I don't know, wherever you're from, Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, and I wanted to say a special hello to Mark in the chat room. Hi, Mark.
Mittens.
Hello, yes.
That sounded a little creepy.
I like how Mittens actually identifies himself as Mittens. Mm-hmm.
I was told, don't call him Mittens, it offends him, but that's his name in the chat room, so yeah. Anyway, I'm not worried about it.
Who told you that?
I think it was Daniel Brewer.
Probably, because here's the thing is like when Adam and Mittens first started dating, we couldn't say Mark's name on the show because they had just started dating. And so out of respect for, you know, dragging someone into that hot mess, I came up with the nickname for him as Mittens. And then when they, you know, when they were official and whatever, and then Adam kept trying to get me to stop saying Mittens and say Mark, but. Like we had sound clips from Mittens and everything, so yeah. So it's an endearment.
The problem with it was there was no real reason behind it.
Was Mittens is because I had a Ralph Wiggum's clip that is like my cat's name is Mittens or something like that.
Yeah, there was no good reason. No,
well,
rhyme
quite frankly,
or.
I think the name fits him like a glove.
All right. Well,
a little bit looser than a glove.
Does anyone? Yes. So I'll explain. I have no personal story, but I will explain my intro. We were talking before. The reason I said pawpaw is because Mark and I are discussing what trees we're going to plant in our new yard, and he wants to plant fruit trees. And I learned that Arkansas has a native tree called a pawpaw tree. That's it. That's my story. Does anyone have a personal story?
Well, I mean, we all have
Faye retired.
Well, I mean, Faye, how is your first 3 days of retirement?
I would like to say I had an awesome time. My coworkers all pitched in and got me a very nice watch. It's engraved. It has my name and our fire department and my equipment number, you know, my badge number on it. And so it's a very nice gold watch.
I didn't realize your equipment had a number, Faye.
Oh, yeah. And
his baloney has a first name.
It's OSCAR.
And I had a great little party after my last day of work. And it's been a very touching and emotional time. And so I have to say I'm somewhat sad and quite outrageously happy that I never have to write another order requesting an electrical inspection or to go to a fire scene to do a fire investigation at 4 o'clock in the morning. So when I weigh the good versus the bad, I think I've made a very good decision. So thank you. Have.
Good. So you mentioned you had a party. Was this like a quarantine? Was this like a social distanced sort of thing or?
It was most definitely. We met outside at a remote location. People maintained their social distance. And we had a very interesting time. People were telling stories about my unique career. And I had a lot of friends come. It was enchanting for me. And you should see how much booze I got as going away gifts. So I have plenty of liquor to last me through the next, maybe week. Just a month.
Okay. I thought you meant they were booing you, like they were giving you lots of booze.
No.
I'm sure we will, because you always bring a cocktail of some sort for Survivors Ready. Although that's wine, not a cocktail. But
wait, why isn't wine a cocktail?
Wine's not a cocktail, is it?
No, wine's a cocktail.
No, I believe
cocktails.
I thought a cocktail was a mixed drink.
A mixed drink is a mixed drink. Cocktail is a generic term meaning any alcoholic beverage. All
see,
right, you're gonna make me Google this
because
oh my god,
I agree with Daniel because you go to a cocktail lounge and get a glass of wine.
But that a cocktail lounge may have wine, but wine is not a cocktail.
Agreed.
It is alcohol. A cocktail is a mixed drink. When you go to in England, when I don't like to tell people this, I lived in England for a while.
I've never heard of this. When did this? No, when did you? I never knew that.
2002, 2003.
Wow, really?
Like yeah.
2002.
So,
Did they name the arena because you lived there in 2002, where they were just like, you know, we're now going to name this the 2002 arena in honor of our former resident Adam Burns?
They actually called me up beforehand. And
nice.
I don't know if you know this or not, and I don't like to talk about it, but I have a degree in psychology.
You do? That is amazing.
So in England, they mixed drinks were not common. Now, I don't know if they are now, but back then they were not common. So if you went to a bar, they did not have mixed drinks. You got a beer or you got wine or you got, you know, whatever. You couldn't get like a Midori sour or something. Like they would look at you like you were.
Look at you like that too.
It was starting to get a little more popular, but you had to go to a place specifically called a cocktail bar in order to get a mixed drink. If you went to a regular bar, they did not have mixed drinks. But if you went to a cocktail bar, you could get a mixed drink. So,
according to Merriam-Webster, definition 1A, a usually iced drink of wine or distilled liquor mixed with flavoring ingredients.
All right. So it needs to be mixed with something.
Why was it 1A? What was definition 1?
But that's the top definition. Yeah, there's a 1B and a 1C, but that is the top definition for cocktail.
Right. Well, you know, not to poop on any parades there, but, you know, go look up the definition of literally, and you'll find out that one of the definitions for it is figuratively.
Great. All right.
Getting on to...
Yeah, let's go. Survivor.
Yeah, let's.
All right, Sam, what's the name of the show?
This is season 40, episode number 12, Friendly Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, does anybody know the reference?
It's a wartime reference, right? Yeah, I was shot by friendly fire.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody know the reference in the show?
Oh, said twice. Well, two people said it.
It was said twice, yes.
No.
But I don't remember
who said it.
Well, I did, because I missed it the past couple times, I did make an effort. Nick says it once and Jeremy says it once, and I jotted down both places in the episode.
Neither the former Marine nor the police officer, but just two civilians said friendly fire.
How about that? Wow.
All right, well, let's start it out then. We start with the Koru tribe. It is night 28. It is just after the tribal council vote. Tony seems to have orchestrated the voting out of Sophie. Ben is whining about it was so, it was Tony's grimy. Ugh. Or no, Ben is whining.
Sarah mentioned
the grimy, Tony grimy. She's very upset. You sunk my game, she says. Tony says he has an idol. Does he actually have an idol?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. And then Tony got pooped on.
Right.
Any comments on what
happened? You know,
I was thinking, so they were talking, I mean, not that this is the most interesting thing that happened this episode, but he gets pooped on by something, and they're having this very enlivened conversation, like very, like, you know, man, animated, I can't believe you animated. Thank you. Yes. I can't believe you. And then all of a sudden, oh, I just got pooped on. And then all of a sudden, the tone completely changed of the conversation. But I just wanted to say that lizard poop looks very similar to bird poop. So it also could have been like an iguana or some sort of lizard that was climbing through the trees. Not necessarily a bird.
His heartfelt belief that birds don't fly at night. Not a bird. Wait, it's dark. Dark. It's dark. Birds can't fly.
You know, if it hadn't been Tony, it could have been Tony pooping on someone from up there in his...
That's right.
What did he call it?
Spy tree.
Yes.
And their stomachs are probably really upset all the time, so their poo is probably really small, so it would have been, you know.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Right. So we get through that night. We go to the next day, day 29. Tony is up in a tree.
But wait. We skipped this, so I want to get people's thoughts on this. Sarah lays into Tony and, like, is all like, you just screwed up my game, yada, yada, yada. And like, I can't believe, you know, whatever. What did anyone have any thoughts on that? I mean, my thought is, if I was Sarah, I would have said the exact same thing. And he totally was not thinking about her at all. In fact, he wanted to split up her and Sophie. And I think she had a right to be mad, and she really laid in on him. I don't know if anyone had any opinions on that, but then she just went right back to being in an alliance with him. She yelled at him real good, and then, okay, but we're still going to be in an alliance, you know, whatever. I don't know. It would have really pissed me off if I was Sarah.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's a cop. I don't know if you know that. She doesn't like to talk about it. And I think that's just that's how they communicate with each other. They just scream.
No. Maybe. All right. Well, if no one else has an opinion, we can move forward. I just wanted to bring it up.
Well, I thought that when they did it, they said, let's go over here and talk. And then they started screaming at each other, and everybody in the camp heard every word they said. Right. So.
And I thought it was interesting that she just laid out her whole plan. I wrote Michelle's name down, and Jeremy doesn't want to work with me either. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this is loud enough. They all must be hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are wearing microphones. It may not have been that loud.
Good point.
Also the ocean. No, Fatty, they're not wearing microphones. We hear perfectly what they're saying just by...
Well, I didn't know if they had a boom mic or something.
No, in fact, you can see oftentimes, you can see the battery packs that they're wearing. It's like a waistband that they'll wear that has the battery pack in it for the microphones.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, they all have
microphones. Because I've always wondered, I don't ever see a microphone...
They do a really good job of hiding them. But they're usually hidden in the buffs or hidden on their, they are clipped on the underside of their swimsuit.
That's not the kind of bulges that Fatty is usually looking for.
That's correct. Yeah.
I mean, they also have boom mics. They also have, they got tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you, I don't know, have you ever seen any pictures of, like, you know, the production?
Only when they come out of the, if something happens and all of a sudden they all come out of the woods.
Yeah. If you, I mean, you can Google it, but if you Google like Survivor production photos, whatever, you'll see it's like, there's about 40 people
yeah.
on the other side of the camera while they're in camp there. It's like, it's a large group of people there that are, you know, doing a lot of different things. So.
All right. So Tony is up in the tree. There's an interaction between him and probably this interaction we're talking about where Sarah is so mad at him or, I don't know. I felt like that was last night, but
it was.
Ben doesn't want to talk. He's moping. Ben seems quite upset at Tony.
Well, you know, it was funny. I found it funny. Ben doesn't want to talk to Jeremy.
True.
And he acts all mad at Jeremy. And I understand they don't get along and Ben wants Jeremy to be gone and all that. But what I don't understand is why is he mad at Jeremy because Jeremy didn't get voted out? Like, it's not like, why are you, it's like he's mad at him for not getting voted out. I mean, what are you going to say if you're Jeremy? Oh, sorry, Ben, that I didn't get voted out. My apologies. You know, there's no other real reason for Ben to act like he's pissed at Jeremy. He's just really mad that Jeremy didn't get voted out. And I didn't really understand. And everyone's like, oh, Ben's acting like a baby. And he was acting like a baby. So I don't know.
All right. So most people want Tony gone. Except the guy he has immunity. Then it seems to me that Michelle, Danny, Ben and Nick seem to have an alliance for wanting to have Tony out. And that's the last we see of the first section of the show, the first act.
Right. I think you might mean Kim, not Danny.
Oh, yeah,
they're interchangeable.
Oh, yeah. Pull out your PDF.
Look Kim's and see. The one that isn't Danny. Danny's over on the edge of extinction right now.
Right.
On the what?
That other island.
All right, we come back, and when we return from commercial, we go to the edge of extinction. And it's 20 coconuts. It's the 20 coconut game. Every person has to run and get 20 coconuts, one coconut at a time. The first six people will win two tokens, and they have until sundown to accomplish their task.
I know the answer to this question, but did anyone else notice that they were all piling their coconuts up in the same pile? I thought they would have piled them in separate piles so you could actually count who gets to 20 first. And there must have been a producer standing there, like, counting as they came back or something. But I would have thought you would put it in separate piles in case there's any dispute, you know, you'd have your own little pile of coconuts. But no, they were all piling them in the same place. Anyway.
And what a lovely bunch of coconuts they were. But I think my big complaint with this challenge is that the Survivor Challenge team has just done amazing things throughout the years. And it feels so atypically lazy of them to basically do the exact same challenge that they just did 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? This is how is this any different than the picking up the wood, other than the fact that this time there were winners, you know, like the first six.
Right, and this time they're going around the side of the island on the beach with the rocks as opposed to over the top of the island with the stairs and the hill. It's the same,
yeah.
It's like, I can see that, but...
It annoyed me because you took time away from the other castaways to show us this, which is basically just a duplicate challenge that you could have just told me later that they all had two, you know, they did another challenge and they got some fire tokens.
We had to show that Rob got hurt.
Oh, yes.
Maybe they're limited, though. I mean, maybe they don't want to do a lot of production value over there because those are eliminated players. So they don't want to set up big, you know, elaborate, you know, like they normally do for challenges. So maybe there's just less that they can do. They want to make them look kind of not, I don't know this for a fact, but you know, you want Edge of Extinction to be different. So I don't know.
I don't either.
I feel like they came up, they said, okay, we're going to do Edge of Extinction. We're going to pile all the losers on this island. And then someone said, well, then what are we going to do with them? They're going to be out there for 38 days. And what are we going to do with them all? And, oh, yeah, I guess we got to do something with them. Let's make them run around with coconuts and logs. Like, there's no story over there, right? There's
the theory is that's how the money gets into the game, right? The theory is that's how the fire tokens get into the game, is because people on Edge of Extinction have more opportunities to earn fire tokens and can then,
But my feeling is it was an ill-thought plan because...
Oh, I agree.
For me, there's not a lot of tension in this. It's like it's all physical prowess. And there's no interaction between people. There's no bargaining. There's no fighting. There's no I'm better than you.
Right. I would have rather have seen like that one challenge that Natalie figured out, like the number of beads was the combination to the thing. Like I would have rather that, like, you know, like, hey, there's six boxes at the top and the combinations are hidden around. So, you know, something like that.
Maybe what they should do is have a third island. They could call it something like, I don't know, Island of the Idols, maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they could put some really famous previous players on there.
Like Cochran and
And then they could Hatch. What's his name? Richard Hatch or whatever. Yeah. And
Wilbur Hatch. No, he played music on I Love Lucy. I'm sorry.
And they could all go there one at a time and get lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm onto something here. I need to run this by the Survivor folks.
Run that up the Survivor poll and see if it gets voted off.
Yeah. Yeah, run that white flag up quickly.
Okay.
So anyway, they were racing Sanders. To get coconuts.
Rob starts out strong. He's going fast because, you know, Rob, he knows he can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Except the girls seem to have a good pace and start passing him consistently. Adam is last and gets, you know, Wendell jumps a crevasse.
Yes.
And Adam is like, how the hell did he do that? And and then Rob falls down and cracks his elbow.
Then he quits.
Is anybody concerned?
Well, he doesn't quit because he does make a point to get all of his coconuts to the pile, but he stops trying to be the first one or to win.
That is a guaranteed camera time move there, right?
He continues going back and forth. They even have a lovely emotional scene with Amba.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like, oh, it was someone just breaking my heart to see
but
him.
He's a fighter.
I think Wilbur Hatch played that music.
Yeah.
He's not a quitter. So I noticed, as I would, I think Rob is losing weight. But I feel like
he's starving. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like his gut though is uneven. Did you guys notice he one side hangs down a little bit lower than the other one. And I was thinking, does he have a hernia right there? Or like what's going on?
Are you sure you weren't staring at his testicles? Maybe that's what you were looking at.
It was his little gut, you know, like over his waistband.
So your belief is that as the fat leaves your body, it does so in an orderly fashion, evenly distributed throughout. Like there's little ushers in there going, all right, now row three.
Yes. Well, that's what happens to me. I mean, I perfectly proportioned weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Sam, do you have any crotch statistics from the running of the coconuts?
Unfortunately not. I did notice that they showed a lot of camera time, but I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention.
By the way, y'all, I'd like to just make Chris from Tennessee, from New Jersey, from Tennessee laugh. Shirley Booth.
I don't know what it is. Anytime you pull out a TV reference that's older than 50 years, I'm going to giggle at it. So
you are.
he's going to, right. It's old Uncle Joe. He's moving kind of slow.
That's it.
At the junction.
All right. So just prior to the end of the coconut run here, we had a little competition between Wendell and Danny, the real Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny felt, I'm going to get it. And she starts picking up her pace. But unfortunately, Wendell won in the end.
Speaking of weight, Danny needs to eat something. I think she is going to, like, she is so, like, unhealthily. I mean, obviously, I know she can't just eat something. But I'm saying she is so thin. Like, she could pass out at any moment.
Yes.
So thin. Also, Natalie won that competition.
Yes.
Right.
Natalie, Sophie, Yule, Parvi, and Tyson. And then Wendell got the coveted sixth place. So they all got two fire tokens each. And Danny, Rob, Ethan, Adam, and Amber got none.
Nice. How many more episodes do we have, by the way?
Well, you got 2-hour episode this coming week, and then the 2-hour finale, and then the 1-hour reunion.
No, but I mean, like, how many more? So, like, when do these people get their chance to come back? Is that going to be this next?
I was thinking that must be next week.
This next 2-hour episode.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Because they're down to seven after this episode. They're down to 7 on the main island, correct?
Yes.
So they need to bring one back to get to 8. I don't know.
Can you imagine if you're one of the people on the edge of extinction?
The what?
The edge of extinction, where you figured, I'm going to go do the Survivor. You know, I'm going to get paid. I don't know what they get paid, an episode or whatever, how they're remunerated. Remunerated, I beg your pardon.
Paid.
And you thought, hey, if I get knocked off, I'm just going to go back to Ponderosa and I'm going to pig out and eat and drink margaritas on a beach and wait, you know, the remaining 20 days and just, like, sit here and have a little vacation.
Yeah.
And they fuck you over and they send you to the edge of extinction where you're there now. We're almost at day 30. And if it was me, I would be pissed.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I agree.
You know that that's where Samdra is, right? It's like you could at any point in time pull that flag up and leave and go to the Ponderosa and have a vacation or whatever. So it's not like you don't have that option. It's just that.
And like Daniel Brewer, these are all super fan, like hardcore Survivor folks. So they are going there to play. They're not going there to go to Ponderosa.
They're going there to win.
They're going there to win. So they're going to do, you know, most of them. Other, you know, Sandra, you know, she's like, I'm old. I'm not going to win anything. Screw this. You know, whatever. But and she's been on lots of seasons and, you know, whatever. But
have they done a Ponderosa with her?
No. We have not looked, or Mark might have, but he normally pulls those up. I haven't seen one.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, they just have a different mindset. They're there to win the game. And do they know beforehand that there's going to be an edge of extinction, or is that a surprise to them?
Yes. In interviews with Probst, usually the reason that they brought the edge of extinction back, it was a negotiating point on some of the former winners who didn't want to just be out of the game as soon as they were voted out. They wanted some kind of chance to get back in the game.
So yeah, so there's no reason for them to be pissed because they knew, you know, when they were walking in.
Right. I think it also has to do with you get paid for each episode that you're in. And so you're basically padding your payday there by saying, you know, I'm a former winner. If I'm going to come back on the show, if I don't win, I still want to get paid for every episode that I was on. So like having this edge of extinction thing guarantees that they're on more episodes and they're going to get paid differently than if they were off camera.
Do we have any idea what the amount is, would be, what it would be for an episode?
I don't. I can find that out and let you know next week.
Sure.
Ask your buddy.
Excellent. I'd like to know that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we leave the edge of extinction and go back to the main island. It's still day 29. Denise, Nick, Michelle, and the real Kim are plotting to get out Tony.
Do you think when they're both sitting together that Jeff says, hey, would the real Kim please stand up? Please stand up. Please. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
We're trying to keep going.
Everyone
all of a sudden Bill Cullen broke into our
Fatty doesn't get that joke. I'm absolutely certain it wasn't a funny joke, but
it's
I know it's Fatty
a 50-year-old joke because Chris is laughing at it. Okay.
I laugh too, but
it's not.
Everyone is searching for an idol, and Ben and Tony are out there. Tony is like on everybody's back. Could you? I couldn't do it.
Look, I know he's on my team, but is Tony not the most annoying player like ever? He is so annoying.
No, Brandon Hance would have that honor, but no, Tony is very annoying. He's up there.
Well, Ben, I think he's funny. I just love watching him run and try to sneak around everywhere. He amuses me.
Yeah, he makes great TV. He really does. The camera loves him.
Well, you and I have different opinions of great TV.
Well, no, I mean for the show. I don't care for what he does, but good Lord, it.
This season would be a snooze fest without Tony.
Exactly. Yes. All of that cut up stuff and capering around and hamming and come on. It makes for great TV on the show.
He's the yin to Yule's yang.
There you go.
I mean, all that tree stuff, you know, that they had.
That's just nuts.
He didn't even do anything. He went up the tree. Sarah comes in, says, "Hey, you see me? Hey, you see me?
Can you see me up in the tree?"
And that's it. And then he climbs down. And I mean, I'm sure he did more than that, and that's all they put on the show, but it's just like, okay, it's crazy.
All right. Well, Ben finds an idol in a underneath a leaf in a crook of a tree branch, and he tries to hide it from Tony, who's right like 3 feet behind him, and it doesn't work out. I would like to say, and Tony freaks out and goes, "Hey, you're trying to hide that from me?" Well, duh, yes. And I would say I was totally in favor of Ben attempting to hide that idol. And I think it would be a natural reaction to just
it would
automatically hide it.
So I was thinking that too. Like you find an idol, you're on Survivor, your first instinct in your brain is like shove it in your crotch or whatever. You know, I mean, like I think automatically
instinct is to shove it in my crotch for anything. I get what you're saying.
I mean, that's the only place they can really hide stuff is like nestled underneath their balls. I mean, the women, they have other places they can hide stuff, but the men are limited. And so
like where? Name a few.
I don't want to get into an anatomy lesson, Chris, but there are places.
You state that as a self-evident fact. I want to know exactly where would the women hide it?
Under their boobs.
Yeah. They could do that.
Wearing bras.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Chris hide it under his?
Exactly.
He's not wearing a bra.
Sexist.
I would think that my first reaction, if it was me, my first reaction would be to scream, right? It was just like, it was like I was impressed that Ben he calmly grabbed it and put it in, tried to put it in his pocket. Like he was in mid sentence. I don't even think he broke his stance of talking.
And then you go, "Oh, damn that bird that just pooped on my arm."
Look over there.
Do birds fly during the day? And no. I think that I might, like, after that whole interaction, "You're trying to hide that from me, man." I would
That's
not
a great impression, by the way.
It is.
I would not even start opening it up and looking at it to see what it was. I would be like, I got something, I guess. And I would put it in a pocket and walk away.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, because of the Edge of Extinction twist, everyone is a jury member, right? So you can't be as douchey to people as you would, because ultimately, everyone is a jury member. So.
Okay. Any other comments on Ben and Tony finding an idol together?
Well,
go ahead.
I was just thinking, I think it makes sense that Ben would try to slip it past Tony, but I think it also makes sense that now Tony catches him and gives up, what's going on here. So, and if they are actually hunting together and side by side, the way that it went down sort of made sense. And I wanted to point out that now each of them has an idol. So that may have changed the nature of the interaction a little bit too.
So Mark pointed out that in one of the previous seasons, one of the girls hid her idol in her hair. And
yes, that's right.
Was able to...
That was the one that had the sexual harassment thing, wasn't it?
Kim?
Was it Kim?
I don't remember who had the sexual harassment. But anyway, yes, one of them hid it in their hair. And they're always...
I mean, a whole big production. Like, here, you can search me.
Mm-hmm. So there's one other place. Boobs and hair.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well,
butt cheeks.
Yeah, everybody's got butt cheeks.
But I also notice many people are wearing sort of homemade necklaces and things, like very tribal looking beady type strung.
Well, they got it at the gift shop.
You know, Sarah, I don't know if you knew this, Faye, but other than being a cop, Sarah is very creative and is into fashion design. So, and I'm sure she's been painting all kinds of, sewing, banana leaves together and painting rocks to make necklaces.
Well, there was a fashion show, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
They're very bored out there.
And she's pretty.
Yeah, and smart. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on then. We go to commercial. We come back and it's the immunity challenge. We are standing on a narrow perch. Your arm is over your head. It is tied to a bucket.
Yes.
You have to stand there.
As one's arm is when standing on a perch.
Standing on a perch. Right.
And better than one arm tied behind your back. Mm-hmm. The immunity is one man immunity and one woman immunity. And both immunity winners will win 2 tokens.
And this is a repeat challenge, but this is a third version of it because in previous challenges, you were allowed to hold your arm with your other hand. And that was the one that lasted for like 3 hours or something.
Six hours.
And then when they took that requirement out of there and just made it so that you had to hold your hand up, then that one, I think, lasted for a few hours or 2 hours or something like that. And so now this one, you have to stand on a perch and hold your hand up and you can't touch the structure. So.
Right.
They must have counterweighted that somehow because a big metal bucket drum filled with colored water is going to be heavy enough, I would think, that it would take more than just your hand kind of lightly, moving to. And it seemed like, man, you move your hand at all and the whole thing. So that little metal structure that was coming out from it must have been some kind of counterweight dealy, Bob.
Yeah, all they were moving was a latch. Literally, is like the bucket was already tilted and ready to pour, and the latch was holding it back. So by them moving their hands in the slightest bit, we'll pull the latch and release it. So that's...
Sometime I need to just raise my arm for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I need to see how difficult that really is.
Do it right now.
No, I'm not going
to. Then we're just going to be like, yes, Adam, do you have something to say? Adam, you're raising your hand.
I don't want to try it right now in front of an audience because I may suck, and I don't want you guys to know.
Do it during the Pride 48 cocktail party on May the 16th, okay. And then people will know you want to speak.
Okay. It
looks like
Sam, do you want to take us through this competition?
All right. So... as mentioned before, Jeff talks about how they did this competition the first time in season 3 and it lasted 6 hours. They started the 5-minute mark with Jeremy being out. And around the same time, Ben touches the structure and Jeff is all, oh, did you touch it? And Ben's like, yep. And then Jeff's all, thank you for your integrity or something like that. And so Jeremy and Ben.
There were like 20 cameras on him, so he probably couldn't lie very easily.
No, not at all. Then we have Sarah out. And so for the women, we have Denise, Kim, and Michelle. And for the men, we have Nick versus Tony.
Wait a minute. We've forgotten something. Before Ben goes out, he goes, hey, Probst, when are you going to bring out the peanut butter and the chocolate.
No, he said food, and then Probst asked him, what food would you like?
Oh, that was it. Peanut butter and chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
He goes, no, does that mean
it's peanut butter in a vat and then chocolate chip cookies on a plate, or is it peanut butter cookies with chocolate chips.
Well, he said
The way they served it, it was cookies, and then they have a big vat of peanut butter and some chocolate.
Wad of peanut butter.
Yeah.
It's big. And you know, that's kind of,
by the way, was my stripper name when I was on the edge of extinction.
Nobody wants to see anyone strip on Edge of Extinction.
I feel like they must do peanut butter because there's a lot of protein, and you know, there's only so many ways you can get protein on the island. So they're like, hey, that's a really good source of protein. But I feel like peanut butter, who sits around at home and takes a bag of cookies and dips it into peanut butter? I mean, that's not a normal thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, everyone on the Zoom call, you know, so I guess not I'm missing
me.
Out.
Don't paint me with that
brush. Daniel, Fatty, and Chris. So a half of the Zoom call. Well, do that.
Sam in the hinterlands would have raised her hand, but she was cooking eggs in a potato chip bag.
There you go.
So,
yes.
Anyway,
I will do a Reese's peanut butter cup. So that's chocolate and peanut butter.
Yes.
So
you got chocolate in my peanut butter.
I love peanut butter,
in my chocolate.
But I just do it as a sandwich. You know,
very salty though. Like peanut butter is really loaded, like the heavily manufactured peanut butter. Mm. Right, Sam, carry on with your.
All right, so we are at the three women and two men, and that's when Nick offers a fire token to Tony so that he can win. But Tony says, no, I'm going to try for three in a row. I'm going to give it all I got. So Nick's going to give it all he got too. And then at the 15-minute mark, we offer the food temptation. And guess what it is, boys and girls?
It's chocolate chip cookies with peanut butter and chocolate.
Exactly.
And milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he shows the food temptation, and Kim decides to go for it. She decides, you know, never mind the contest. Nope, gonna go for it. And then Michelle does it also, so that means Denise is the default winner for the women folk.
Now, it sounds like you're disappointed in Kim for doing that, Sam.
No,
that,
not particularly. Not
you know
at all.
She was on your team.
Oh yes.
Yeah, so that kept you from winning points because that's what gave me points there. It's because Denise was the one that stayed and got the points. Yes. So.
Just a minor logistical thing here. Probst did say that anybody who jumps out at this point will share the platter of food.
Yes.
And you can eat until the end of the competition.
Right. Which ended immediately. Yes.
Yeah. So what happened there? Like, were the three people who blasted out of there for the peanut butter?
They grabbed a cookie and smeared dipped in some peanut butter on it. So they got to keep what was in their hands, but they couldn't take any more off the plate. Once Tony dropped his hand, and Tony was standing there holding his hand up, so technically the contest was still.
The plate was sitting right by them, and I thought maybe, you know, they let them eat until he had put the necklace on the winner or something, but I don't know that for sure. The plate was sitting right there.
Usually on those things, they're sitting there shoving it in their face, and then he'll say, like, all right, well, whatever you have in your hands, you can keep, but, you know, you can't get any more.
One of them was still eating when he presented the necklaces.
Yeah, because if you had it in your hand, if you had the cookie in your hand, you got to keep it.
Okay.
All right, Sam, did you have any more on that?
No, Nick dropped it for Tony, and Tony got to have the third immunity challenge in a row winner, and he got the two fire tokens, and Denise got the other two fire tokens. And
now this was a thing. I was a little bit surprised that Nick. So the deal was, Nick said, "Hey, give." So Mark in the chat room says, "Can you hide a cookie in your boobs?" so yeah, probably. But Nick had been involved in this whole scheme that everybody wanted to vote Tony out. And so I was a little bit surprised that, because what Nick said is, hey, will you give me a, or Tony offered to give him a fire token or something if he would give up. Mm-hmm. And so then Nick goes, hey, will you still give me the fire token? And Tony's like, yeah, absolutely. And then Nick gives up. But I was really surprised that he gave up because I felt like that would kind of put a little bit of a target on Nick's back, because the whole plan from like most of the tribe was, hey, we're going to vote Tony out. And then Nick, not, he doesn't even look like he's all that tired, but he decides, oh, I'm going to take a fire token and just give up and go eat some peanut butter. And it screwed up everybody else's plan that he did that.
Yeah, but,
so,
but he had his, all right, he may have had his game face on. And it's like, it's one of those things, right? You have to, that's the survivor calculus that you have to do. It's like, am I going to win this challenge? Do I have enough reserve in my tank to actually win this challenge? Because if so, then I'll stay and I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm giving up a chance to get food that will help me in future challenges because, you know, I'm starving at the same time. So it's one of those, if you don't think you can win, if you're like, you know what, I can maybe do this for another minute or two, but my arm is on fire and I just eat, you know, I cannot do this, then you might as well take the food at that point, right?
No, I get it, but
he just wanted to sink his vampire teeth into those cookies.
Yeah, it's, I get it, and I agree with you, Daniel, but I'm just saying, in this particular instance, there was a lot riding on that, and he gave up versus like,
okay, I was falling for my homework. You know, whatever. For my homework, I'm going to find out about the pay. For your homework, when we're not watching you on video, I want you to hold your hand up over your head and see just how long you can make it. Because let me tell you, I only did it for like a minute or two, and it was already hurting. So it's just like,
I'm kind of curious if my, like, my whole arm will go to sleep. You know, the pins and needles stuff where you're not getting enough blood or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Another item regarding the two fire tokens for Tony, who said, I'll give Nick a token.
Yes.
So he, Tony wins two tokens for this competition. He has to give one to Nick. But then Tony also owes a token to somebody from last week's competition where he had to pay six tokens for the extortion.
Yes.
But he borrowed three. He won two at the immunity. So he owes somebody a token.
Oh, so, that's a good
Kim?
Point.
Who know? I don't know who got paid back their tokens. So,
yeah, we were hoping they would tell us that this episode.
Yeah, they didn't mention that at all.
Well, okay, right. I can post you a link here that will give you the here. This is the fire tokens. This is like this is where they're currently at. I don't know if it goes into detail about who paid one, but you can see that Tony only has one at this point in time. Because he had to pay, he was one shy of paying back another one. So,
okay. Have you been able to review this? Can you just tell us instead of us?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know. It's I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll let somebody else.
Hold on. If you mouse over Tony's at the end here and after episode 12, he gained two fire tokens after winning the fifth individual immunity challenge, then gave one fire token to Nick as compensation for throwing the challenge to him. So he says he now has three. Last week he gained one fire token from Den, one from Jeremy, one from Nick, and then paid six fire tokens in total to Natalie, and then gave two fire tokens after the winning of the fourth individual. So I guess he didn't pay somebody back. It's probably Jeremy. I think Jeremy was just kind of like, yeah, I'll give you a token. And the other two were, I'll loan you a token.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's that for the immunity challenge, and we leave to commercial. We come back. It is the post challenge. Everybody is talking about everybody.
Oh,
Tony,
my goodness. Yes.
Wants to vote out Kim. My notes aren't very good here. I was making dinner at the time.
So it's interesting. So everyone's scrambling because they can't vote Tony out. So most of the tribe is going back and saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and vote Jeremy out. So even Michelle has this whole thing where she's like, I'll give him my, she had that previous advantage where it's a 50-50 and she does a coin flip and it could be a idol or not, depending on the coin flip, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I'm going to vote for him, but I'm going to give him this thing. Right. And then Ben, Tony and Ben are walking around and Ben goes up to Tony and says, hey, I just wanted to let you know that your name was one of the ones being thrown out, you know, but now it doesn't matter because you've got immunity. So no big deal. Right. And Tony's like, no. It is a big deal. Who did it? I mean, who threw my name out? You know, blah, 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 blah. And so Ben's like, okay, it was Kim. And so then, you know, Tony, because anytime he hears someone has thrown his name out, that's who he wants to go. So he starts going around and talking to people, and he talks to, well, he gets Ben to agree to vote for Kim. And then he also talks to Sarah, and she says, you know, that's fine. And I can't remember. He talks to somebody else. I think he talks to Jeremy because he's like, oh, he says, hey, Sarah, we're going to have to work with Jeremy. Because we're going to be at the bottom. We're going to be on the bottom next week. They're going to pick us off. We got to pick up another person. And he's like, we need to work with Jeremy. And so she's like, oh, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so he goes and talks to Jeremy and then tells Jeremy, hey, would you be on board with this? And he says, the only thing is you need to go talk to Ben because you need to make up with Ben or whatever. So that's kind of, so they were all talking, but it was pretty much settling on either Jeremy or at that point, Kim is what was kind of being talked about on the island. So.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we get the second part of Friendly Fire, the second reference. Jeremy says it. This is part of, this is the part of war getting ugly. This is like Friendly Fire. After Nick had said it earlier, before the immunity challenge. And then we listen to them go back and forth for a long time, and we have another commercial break.
Let me ask you, because I know you're not a fan of the whispering at Tribal Council, Adam, but did it make you feel better about it with them subtitling it and basically telling, you know, letting you hear what they were saying to each other?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But it still drives me a little bit crazy, but it was much better with subtitles. Because at least there's more of a point to it there because the audience kind of knows a little bit about what's being said versus all we're doing is sitting there watching people whisper and we have no
selectively,
idea.
Selectively. There were still plenty of whispers did not subtitle. But
they can't. Yeah, they didn't want to give away the whiskers. They didn't want to give away the whispers that would have let you know that, you know, basically that they gotten that who was going to go, right? In other words, the ones that were going to tell you. They still want to try to give you a surprise ending, right?
It's all just noise, if you ask me. It's all meaningless. And even the subtitling was, did you change your vote? No, I'm solid. Well, I don't know what your solid vote is. Who are you actually voting for, right? Yeah, it's just, did you mention my name?
It represents a fundamental shift in Survivor over the past, let's say, 6 years or six seasons. It's prior to probably Gen X, Millennials versus Gen X, people didn't change their votes at Tribal. It was like you went into Tribal, you knew who you're going to vote for, and it didn't matter what happened at Tribal. Something, you know, you kept to your vote because you couldn't talk to other people in your alliance. So you stuck to your guns and you did it. It wasn't until probably Millennials versus Gen X that got changed. And it's evolution of the game. It's like now, it's like you go to Tribal, you don't know necessarily who you're going to play. It's flux.
Was that a rule that they couldn't talk?
No.
Well,
no,
that's what I was about to say.
Social conventions. Right?
I didn't know, but I assumed. So prior to whatever season it was where they started whispering, I had always assumed that they couldn't talk to each other once they got to Tribal.
Yeah.
You know, that had always been kind of an assumption of mine. I don't have anything to base that on, but I kind of assumed
that. It's literally just social conventions. Like if you're there and in a sense, like if you went to a meeting at work, you're not going to get up and go whisper to somebody else while the meeting's going on because your social convention, the way you're brought up, you know, it tells you that's not, you don't do that. Right. So it's just like it was literally there was no rule that they couldn't do it. It was just, you know, oh, OK, we're sitting here doing this meeting and we're, you know, that would be crazy for me to do that because people will judge me for doing that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So there you go.
Well, and then the other thing, which I thought that must be a rule. I mean, I thought it had to be a rule, but I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit. But when they get to after they vote and they get to using whether they want to use an advantage or immunity idol, there's whispering again, where Tony's like, hey, do you want me to blah, 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 or whatever? And then he looks at Jeremy and they have a discussion. And I'm like, is that allowed? Like, how are you allowed? They're basically asking people how they voted after they voted before they decide what how is that allowed?
Wait. Why wouldn't it be allowed? You do know they're still allowed to lie.
Yeah, but I mean, but the whole like, point the whole point to me of playing an immunity idol is you're rolling the dice. You're like taking your chance. You may or not, may not have been the person voted for. And the fact that they're allowing them to converse with each other.
That doesn't mean that you're not still rolling the dice.
Well, yeah, it doesn't. But if you have an ally, I mean, if you have people that you trust and you're talking to them, and I just feel like it and I've never seen that happen before. Like, I've never seen at that point people talk to each other before this decision is made. There may be looks, there may be glances, but I've never seen anyone talk to each other. Maybe it has happened, but this week was the first time I've seen that. So
for me, it makes the entire preamble, you know, the after the commercial break, after immunity, the all the talking and planning and chatting and scheming, you know, the day during the day prior to tribal. Yeah, let's vote out so and so. Then we actually get to tribal, and I've never liked any of these portions of the show. You go to tribal, and everyone's, oh, what do you think? Oh, I think you can't trust anybody in this game. Oh, really? Why can't you trust anybody? All this nonsense talk that goes on throughout the entire tribal tribal process, and then you do these votes, and then they're still negotiating, air quotes, negotiating with people. Do you want me to? Oi, you want me to use? I don't know.
Well, I think before the commercial, they're setting it up to put two or three names in the viewer's mind as to, okay, these are going to be the targets.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the setup. It doesn't. And then once you get there, you know, it's just like.
Right. You also have to understand that you're basically complaining about the editing, right? It's like what really happened there was they were all whispering, they were all talking, and it's like, you know, they're sitting around camp regardless of whether there's cameras there or not, right? It's like,
yeah, because don't they go on for like 4 hours or something, like,
well,
some,
yeah,
crazy
for a while,
amount of
but
time.
I'm just saying, it's like, you know, it's just what the editors are choosing to show you here, and it's just like, right. So it's a case of they're trying to craft a good story.
Faye, if you watch the entire tribal like unedited.
Oh, you would hate it. It would be like listening to an episode of Dubious Intent. It would just go on and on, right, and on.
You got my vote on that one. Okay, we go to the votes. Sam, you want to take us through the vote?
Well, before we have the vote, we have this little bit of business where Tony looks at Sarah and Sarah's like, "Sarah, you feel good? And too good to use?" And Tony wants to play his idol for Sarah.
Well, that
Sarah
was after the vote.
No.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do that. Well, that's after everybody goes and does their voting.
Okay,
and Jeff
question.
Says, I'll tell
Sorry
her
to interrupt,
vote.
But this is a very good point. Here's a way that Sarah could have taken control and said, "No, I don't feel good. Please waste your idol on me."
Mm-hmm.
"Because you're a fucktard. And I'd like to get you out."
Yes, but they're still each other's ride or die. So
they
it's
are.
Like, yeah,
they're
she's
buddies.
Not, she's not going to do that because mm-mm. that's her teammate. She may be mad at him, but still, that's her, you know, that's her right. teammate.
Right.
Right.
Well, Jeremy could have done the same thing.
Yes, right. Could have.
Could have.
Didn't.
But so Tony does not play the idol for Sarah. And then we have this big back and forth with Jeremy. Is he going to do his thing? Is he going to do his thing? Is he was going to play? Is he going to? No, and he doesn't either.
Well, what that appeared to me as is Tony is saying, "Don't play it, Jeremy. You're good. I got you." Mm-hmm. Based on all this whispering that we had, I'm sure that I've controlled the vote and Kim is going home. I don't want you to waste that. So that's what it appeared. Tony was like trying to convince him, "Don't use it. Don't waste it because I got the votes," basically, is what I took that as.
Yes. That's he's trying to convince me. He's like, "Trust me, man. Trust me." It's like, "You're fine. You're good." And of course, if he's right, then there's a chance that Jeremy's going to trust him more, right? So,
right. And then we reveal that the first vote is, in fact, for Jeremy. So maybe not. And then the second vote is for Kim. Third vote, Jeremy. Fourth vote, Jeremy. So, you know, maybe Jeremy shouldn't have been trusting Tony. Fifth vote. Fifth vote is for Kim. And the sixth vote is for Kim. It's tied. Three all. Three votes for Jeremy. Three votes for Kim. Vote number seven is for Kim. And we get right down to the wire. And vote number 8 is also for Kim. So Kim is the next person voted off of the main island.
Wouldn't it be amazing if one of them writes down the name Danny because they got confused and didn't know whether it was Kim or... Oh, crap, I needed my PDF.
So it was Kim, Denise, and Michelle that voted for Jeremy. Everybody else voted for Kim, by the way.
Yeah. You know, so Kim made a stupid mistake giving up for the peanut butter, and I'll tell you why.
Why did you put the emphasis on butter, like peanut butter?
I don't know. But she made a stupid mistake because she knew that she was the one going around trying to get votes for Tony.
Yes.
And she knew that that could theoretically put a target on her back. So why the hell are you going to do something so bold that could put a target on your back and then give up? I understand that you want to eat. And that's another way of doing better in the game. But when you've literally...
She didn't have that piece of information.
No, but I mean, she knew that she knew that she had been going around
gunning
for Tony.
People go around all the time. They have nothing to do out there other than to talk to each other about what to vote. It's just like the only reason that you know that she went around and did that stuff was because it was important to the story that they were telling. So they showed you that. But it's like they could probably just as easily spend, 5 minutes showing you that Jeremy was going around trying to get somebody else to be voted for.
She herself, though, after Tony won immunity, she herself was worried that she was going to get voted out because of the fact that she had gone around and she knew this information before the end of the immunity game.
Yes.
She knew she had done
Again, do your homework. You're going to hold your hand up and see how long you can make it. Because I think you'd probably be willing to cut a deal and justify it in your brain. Is like, I should be all right. I'll be all right if I just, I can't do this anymore.
And stand on a beam if you happen to have one.
But I mean, all of those games are like that. I'm just saying, you all of those games are things that you don't want to keep doing, but you're on the game to win, and you know that I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I'm giving up. You have a chance.
I would just
to
love for Adam to be on Survivor that he can
do
everything that he says. I would never.
We can ask. Well, Adam, why did you lose this challenge?
Let me rephrase it. Kim should not have.
You are the armchair survivor.
Aren't we all? I mean, aren't we all really? We're literally sitting here.
Rough life, though,
I mean, Chris is literally in an armchair right now.
It's true. It is true. And, hey, let me ask you this, Adam. Who of the remaining survivors, which is pretty much everybody except Sandra, has the most fire tokens?
I know.
I'll come to you in a second.
Of remaining survivors. So
of remaining, so not...
No, everyone's other than Sandra's.
I think it's Natalie.
Okay.
Yeah, Natalie probably.
And how many does Natalie have?
I believe it's 6.
But she just won 2 this episode. She actually has 8. Yes, sis. Natalie has 8 fire tokens. Hmm. And the closest person to her is Denise, who has 6.
Mm-hmm. She has 6.
Everybody,
Denise, she's on my
else,
team.
Parvati has 4, and then there's a couple of 3s and some 2s.
And Daniel's so happy that Denise has 6 because she's his... She's his ride or die.
Yeah. She is my exclusive player.
So Kim got voted off, and who did she give her tokens to? Did she get any?
She gave 1 to Michelle and 1 to Denise.
And
1 to Sarah.
And 1 to... Oh, she had a 3rd one to Sarah?
Yep.
Oh.
Okay.
We go to the teaser, wherein we learn there's a 2-hour episode coming up next week. Which means there'll be a 2-hour episode of Survivors Ready.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Mm. Natalie says something.
Natalie says something? This is the notes that you took? Natalie says something.
Sam, do you have any?
That's
very retiring. He just goes downtown.
Bless his heart. He was falling into a nap. When Natalie started trying to get here.
I watched this show not less than 5 minutes prior to getting online with you guys.
Oh, wow.
What did she say?
I don't know what she said.
She said some stuff.
Write it down.
Okay.
She said some stuff.
Should we get, somebody says, should we get Ben? I don't know. Two people were talking. Let's get Ben. Mm-hmm. And Tony.
No, I think
Sarah.
somebody said that somebody should get bent. I think that was it. They were just really angry. Get bent. Go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure they said Ben, which makes me believe that Ben is perfectly safe this week.
Right?
Yeah.
And well, I assume two people will go home. A 2-hour right. episode, so.
Right.
I have a feeling that two people will go home and one person will come in.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Let's hope so. I think part of the 2 hours will be bringing the last person back from the other island.
Yeah. Good riddance to all those Edge of Extinction people.
Okay, oh, we'll get a lot of Ponderosas all at once.
No, because they're all on the jury.
Oh, that's right. They are.
Well, yeah.
No, yeah, of course.
The Ponderosas are always still the jury members.
The Ponderosas are always the jury members.
Oh, I guess they would go to the Ponderosa. They wouldn't go back to the Edge of Extinction.
Right.
All right. So here,
can you imagine, though, like arriving back from the Edge of Extinction and having to be told to, sorry, you got to wait. There's 16 of you here and we don't have, the kitchen isn't quite ready for you. Your pizzas will be ready in an hour and a half.
Oh, I'm sure they'd be sharing food before they started doing individual foods. Let me just go down the line here, around the horn, as it were. Faye, who do you think's coming back from Edge of Extinction?
I want Natalie to come back.
Okay. Chris, who do you think's coming back from Edge of Extinction?
Rob.
Fatty, who do you think is coming back from Edge of Extinction?
Well, I hope it's Rob, but I would not be surprised if it were Ewell.
Samantha.
Well, I'd like Sophie to come back, but I'm going to stick with Sophie.
Okay. Adam?
Probably Tyson or Sophie.
All right. I'm pulling for Ewell. I don't think he's going to make it, though. I think the most likely person to come back is going to be Natalie, but I'm pulling for Ewell because he's on my team. So,
Do we want to talk about the contest?
Yes. Yeah. Just you mean the contest that I'm in?
Before we
place?
Leave the yes. Edge of Extinction.
Uh-huh.
The Edge of Extinction. Never mind. The loser being not Danny, but the other one,
Kim,
arrives at the Edge of Extinction and somebody says, I didn't quite catch who it was, but somebody says, you got peanut butter breath. Can I smell your breath?
Oh,
yeah. All right.
And Kim says, I can't believe they all did it.
So contest. We'll start with last place. In the rear. We have Team Faye with 25 points.
Well, that's the way he likes it.
Then we have, and Faye, by the way, has only one player left, which is Jeremy. And then
Natalie's coming back. She's going to win.
And right in front of the rear, we have Team Fatty with 45 points. Mm-hmm. He has Ben and Jeremy remaining. In fourth place, we have Team Sam, who also now, after this episode, only has Jeremy remaining because she lost Kim. Mm-hmm. 65 points. And then in third place, well, second, third, I mean, it depends on what you want to say because there's a tie for first. But third place, we have Daniel, Team Daniel.
That would be me.
With 90 points. And he has Denise, Ben, and Michelle remaining.
Wow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Thank you.
And tied for first place once again this week, we have Team Chris and Team Adam.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Nick, Ben,
and Tony. And I have Sarah, Ben, and Tony remaining.
And what about on our listener game?
Oh, so the listener game, Scotty and Mark are currently tied.
Really?
With 110 points apiece.
Do they have the same contestants?
They don't.
Good, because I just want to let you know, because then they would be tied all the time.
No, they still, even with the at-home listeners, they had to have a unique.
Ah,
so
who is Mittens unique?
So, well, that's on a spreadsheet that I'm trying to pull up right now. Okay. So Scotty has remaining Ben and Denise. His unique is Sophie, and she's gone. Mark's unique is Michelle.
Michelle.
And Mark has Michelle, Tony, and Sarah all still in the game.
Oh, yeah. Mitten's going to win.
So, yeah. And his Edge of Extinction person is Natalie. So
yeah, he said that in the chat room. So we got that in the chat room there. So.
All right. Any other comments from you peanuts?
Aw.
I'm super excited. It's going to be a 2-hour episode, and it's going to be great.
I still don't know why they cram those things. I mean, I understand that what's his name? The one that people don't like, the host that people don't like, is coming back right after. I like Phil. I personally enjoy Phil. But
what you're talking about. Amazing. Phil.
Who doesn't like Phil?
Amazing Race. Yeah.
Phil Kogan has repeatedly been won the best game show, or, you know, the favorite game show host award on like the MTT. It's like everyone loves Phil. I don't know anyone who doesn't like Phil.
Well, I've seen
he just has no ability to do color commentary. Comment was that one time that he tried to narrate the pushing the cart race, and it was just like, oh, there's a cart.
It's a language barrier.
Well, I've seen things online. Some people don't like him. I like him. That's all I'm saying. Amazing Race is coming back, but I don't see why they don't.
I love it that in your mind that's controversy. Like that, I'm going to take this controversial stand that I like Phil Kogan.
Break it down for us. What did you see online that makes Phil?
I don't remember. I read it a long time ago. I Googled his name or something. It doesn't matter.
Oh, there
so
you go. Well, yeah,
yelled at a valet.
That's coming back, and but I think they should not have these 2-hour double enders, you know, because I think they should
all the time.
They should have, you know, they should spread these out
to drag out another 2 weeks.
Yeah, because I mean, what else does CBS have other than procedurals? I want to
please make it end,
which I enjoy.
I can assure you that that comment is less popular than
The Phil Kogan.
Phil Kogan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What? No, I think what you don't understand is that there's just a lot of red tape and bureaucracy involved in all of these productions. It's like they cannot turn on a dime that quickly. They can't just be like, okay, well, you know, everyone's sequestered at home, so let's go back and re-edit all those things, because each episode may have, you know, 10 or 15 people involved in the editing and storyboarding and, you know, doing music cues and stuff like that. It's like, so, you know,
but they're basically two episodes butted up against each other. I mean, you have a tribal and then you go to the next. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right. It was a lovely evening tonight. Evening.
A lovely evening tonight.
Faye, where can you be reached now that you're retired?
Well, look for a lot more episodes at pinkwheelnuts.com.
All right. Chris, I have to ask you, it's in the contract. Where can you be reached?
I can't.
Okay. Because you can't be bothered to be reached. Daniel, correct. Where can you be reached, sir?
I can be reached, Daniel Brewer, on Twitter. Also, I think contact@dubiousintent.com.
Yeah. For anyone who listening to Survivors Ready that doesn't listen to Dubious Intent, we're doing a limited series run from now until the June Pride 48 event. You can go over to pride48.com Saturday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern and hear us.
Of course, you can always just go to dubiousintent.com and subscribe to
that is true.
Favorite podcatcher.
That is true. You can do that. Fatty, where can you be reached?
You can reach me at philkogan.com. It's not a very popular site, but...
I've read bad things about it on the internet.
Well, there was the worst comment was by Wilbur Hatch from the.
What does Shirley Booth have to say?
She said, "Mr. B, Mr. B."
All right, Sam, where can you be reached?
I'm Sam and the H on Twitter.
All right, well, I can be reached at geekygay.com and dubiousintent.com. for that limited run and other places. We can be reached at SurvivorsReadyPodcast.com, where you guys can go to see the list of our episodes. You can also find all of those contest results that we were talking about. So if you're interested in that, Mark does a lovely job creating icons and logos and all that every single week. You can go there. There's a contest link. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts at pride48.com. Have a good night, everyone, and we will see you next week.